Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Interview Mistakes, Chapter 1, Week Preparation. The questions this cast answers are, what do I need to do in preparation for an interview? Why do I need to prepare for an interview? And what's the minimum amount of research I need to do about the company before an interview? Do you ever wish that you could ask Kate or Sarah or Andrew or me or one of any of the rest of us a question? Do you wish you could get an answer for your situation? Well, you can. All you need is a personal license and we'll give you an email address that reaches any one of us. And we'll be happy to work through your problem or send you to the right podcast if there is one for you. A personal license has a lot of benefits, but that's one that people tell us they really appreciate. Go to managertools.com, look for products in the navigation, and select personal license. There is a list of mistakes that a candidate could make in an interview, which is probably, you know, like an encyclopedia. There's an infinite number of mistakes that you could make. But in reality, when you've interviewed a lot, or even if you interview a little, you see the same mistakes over and over and over again. So that's what this series is about. We're going to talk about the things that we see most often, which may or may not be the thing that trips you up. And I would encourage you to listen, even if you think that this isn't your problem, because it's amazing how many people have this problem and don't seem to know it. And this is a lack of preparation or weak preparation or not enough preparation. And it's not a lack of depth about the knowledge of the role or the company or the industry. It's not about not knowing what the role is going to be. It's a lack of preparation for the interview itself. I don't know whether they misunderstand what they're supposed to do in an interview or if they just don't understand what the standard is, but it just seems that we've been hiring recently and I can't believe how many people miss this. And it's really easy to avoid being one of those people. So, of course, we're going to give you the specifics.
Yeah. Our outline for today is number one, read your resume. Seems simple, but we're going to talk about it. It's very, very important. Number two, read the job description, right? Seems like it goes without saying, but we've got to read the job description. Then research the company. And then we've got a few points here. Prepare your tell me about yourself answer. Prepare your questions. Prepare for the meeting. Prepare to take notes. And lastly, prepare with the general store exercise. It's that simple.
It's easy, right? And the first one is read your resume. And you think, of course I've read my resume. I read it when I wrote it. I know what it says, right?
Yeah.
And here's what I think happens is you go through that process in your mind of, okay, I'm going to an interview. My resume's already done its job because it got me the interview, which is true. That's the resume's job. I wrote it. It was good when I wrote it. It got me this interview. I don't need to look at it again. And also, it's my life. It's my history. The jobs I did, I'm going to be able to answer questions about it. And what they think is it's like, you know, when somebody says to you, do you remember that Christmas we went to Auntie Jenny's? And you say, oh, yes, we had, I don't know, some random marshmallows and sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
That random food, right? And because the other person was there, you only have to mention one or two things, that one standout thing, you know, the time the turkey.
The highlights.
Yeah, the time the dog ate the turkey or whatever. And the other person uses their memory to believe that they understand the rest of the story because they do, because they were there too.
Yeah, it's a reference point.
Yeah. So even though your job history, it's your lived experience, the other person doesn't have the rest of the story. And so you can't just hit a couple of highlights. You have to be able to tell the entire story in a way that is helpful, that answers the question, that shows the skills and abilities that you want to show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it matches your resume. And all of that is much harder if you haven't looked at your resume in a month or even a week. I mean, who remembers what they read yesterday? You have to refresh your memory about what your resume says before an interview, the day before, or a couple of hours before.
And I would even go a step further. if you're writing your resume, especially if you follow our guidance and keep a separate career management document, and then you were parsing from that to put things on your resume that make sense and that apply to the job that you're looking for or applying for, there's a lot of information there. And it could sometimes get a little jumbled in your brain because you mm-hmm. know that there's a lot of that stuff. And it's important to refresh yourself on what made the cut for this resume, mm-hmm. right? What's on this resume? Or even if you don't follow our guidance and you have kind of the iterative process for your resume. Most people I know who don't follow our guidance, they just work off their last resume and they, you know, tweak that and make changes to that. And over the course of that iteration, you make all sorts of changes, and some of which you don't remember that you made, and you don't remember, you know, some of the particulars that you included or excluded. And so really, really important to read the resume that the person is going to have in front of them. And I would even say one other thing. There's a lot of resume writing services out there, and there's a lot of things that are compelling people to have a resume writer write the resume. And most of the time when they get it back, they see it and they go, visually, this looks great.
Yeah.
But they don't read it line by line.
No.
And you have to know the words that are on the page that's in front of the person who's interviewing you. You have to. It's so critical.
And attaching a file to an email is not the same as reading it. And I can demonstrate this. We can demonstrate this mm-hmm. with a really easy example. If the candidate had read their resume before they send it, we would not have the situation which happens so often where we say, wait a minute, these dates don't work. That 2014, 2015, there's a gap. Or there's an overlap, like, which, when did you actually finish this job? And they say, where are you reading that? I'm reading it on the resume you sent me. And it's more than just like, I don't remember the document. It's almost as if they have never seen that resume before. And if they've never seen that resume before, whose is it? Because it clearly isn't theirs, right?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, where does rule of prison, which is if there's a gap on your resume and you've got no other explanation, you were in prison because recruiters are cynical. If you can't explain what's on your resume, I assume that's somebody else's resume.
Absolutely. And it's perfectly reasonable, though not smart. It's not, you know, something that we would recommend for a candidate to write a resume and submit it for an opportunity that's a couple of months later. And it's not reasonable to have not looked at the contents of what's on the resume. It's not reasonable to not check it for accuracy. You know, that's one of the things that we touch on a lot is, just is it accurate? Just does it not contain any errors? You're telling, this is the only document that you have that is showcasing the work that you can do, your level of attentiveness to details, and to have apparently never read it in detail before it's submitted or between, you know, submitting it and actually arriving for the interview. Whew, that's not good, you know, and if you've forgotten what you wrote, right, the forgetting, that's not the fault of the company. That's not the fault of the timing of when you submitted it and when the interview comes to fruition.
Yeah, you could certainly blame them, but that's a guilty conscience, right?
Yeah, you could certainly say I wasn't planning on you calling back for an interview so quickly. I still had to go through and read that resume that I already submitted. No, come on, right? The bottom line is that's your fault. Properly reading your resume before an interview takes less than 10 minutes. You can do it in an Uber. You can do it on the plane. You can do it anywhere. And it's a minimum expectation that you have read your own resume before an interview. And quite frankly, if you're thinking, gosh, it's going to take more than 10 minutes because my resume is 3 pages, your resume should be 1 page.
Yeah, that's your problem there, right there.
Yeah. Then go back to step A, right?
Yes. Hey, next up, read the job description. So you can guess, if people aren't reading the resume, they're not reading the job description either. Yeah. Or at least they're not reading it at the time of the interview. They're reading it when they submit their resume, right?
Yeah, but they definitely didn't write this one. right? They wrote
yes.
the resume.
Yes, absolutely.
They didn't write this
they
one.
They didn't write the job description. The joy of job descriptions is it tells you exactly what a hiring manager is looking for. It tells you what's important to them and therefore what you need to emphasize during the interview. It literally tells you what specific traits and abilities and skills and experience you need in order to be successful in this role and therefore what questions you're going to get. You know, even the minimum, it tells you the company name and the job title. And the number of people who don't know that this company is called Manager Tools is amazing.
Yeah. And I know it sounds simple, but there's something to be said for knowing the title of the job. Mm-hmm. A lot of organizations, for whatever reason, and I'm sure that's a longer conversation, probably a separate cast in and of itself, there's a lot of things going on with titles. There's title inflation, which Mark has talked about, but there's also creativity when it comes to titles. I just trained a group and they said, well, you know, this is what our engineers do, but they're kind of, you know, everyone has a different title, but they do the same job because some of them are doing certain things and they need to position themselves different ways and all this stuff. And I'm like, they're all doing the same job and they all have different titles. Okay. Right. But at a minimum, knowing the title of the job is so helpful when you go into the interview. And, you know, we would hope that candidates who are signaling their wish to be employed in the role by attending an interview would know at least what the role is and the company they'll be working for. As Wendy mentioned, even some of my interactions with people who are not interviewing to work here. Wendy has much more experience of that. She's our gatekeeper. And I got to tell you, whenever someone says manager's tools or management tools or something like that, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me.
It is.
And that's not even people that want to come work here. Like I should forgive
yes,
them.
Exactly.
But if you want to come work here and you don't know the name of our company, I mean, that strikes one and two. Mm-hmm. I am so big on that. And it just shows an unwillingness to pay attention to details, unwillingness to understand that there's a feeling associated mm-hmm. with that, right? It's like calling someone the wrong name and there's feelings associated with that. And everyone who works here at Manager Tools, maybe this isn't normal. Maybe I should step down off of my soapbox for a minute, but we care very deeply about what we do. And we work here for that reason. And so when people show I hate to say it this way, but a blatant disregard for the name of our company, that's hard to get some of that goodwill back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're just starting in a hole, which is never a good place.
Exactly.
The next part is one of the things that people go overboard on and kind of miss the point. So we'll try that. Research the company. So we do want you to spend some time researching the company. And it's easy to go overboard and not do any introspection or practice or spend all your time doing the company research and not do anything about you. When 55 minutes out of an hour is going to be about you, if the hiring manager is sensible, it's going to be questions about your experience, about what you've done and how it fits and all of those things. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do any research about the company. Most companies have an About Us page, which tells you what they do and what they're particularly proud of. And it's usually written in the vernacular of the company. So often, you know, big companies, it's usually something staid and corporate and boring. Smaller companies or, you know, companies that think they're cool, it's usually written in cool language. And it's a mistake if you think that you won't be asked something about the company. What do you know about us? Or have you looked at our website? I mean, the number of people I say, have you looked at the website? And they say no. And the job is for a software developer for that website. Why would you not have looked?
It's interesting because I look at this, Wendy, as it's weird. We talk about certain parts of the interview process as you just don't want to stick out in a bad way, right? Some things, they're not going to win you the interview. They're not going to, you know, win you the job, but they will, when done right, prevent you from losing out on the opportunity. This one's very interesting to me because if I ask a candidate, what do you know about us? I don't have a high bar. I don't expect them to know everything about us. But if they say they don't know anything about us, That's a red flag.
Yes.
And this is kind of an area where, yeah, if you've done some research, if you can prove to me, now, you don't need to know everything about everyone who works here and all of that, but if it's very clear from their answer, which doesn't need to be long, that they get it, they understand what we're doing here, they understand, you know, our mission or what we want to do or how we do the things we do, that can really, you know, earn some goodwill early on. And so it's a very interesting part of the interview if it comes up, and yeah, you should be prepared for it to come up.
Yes. It's also one of those things where if you have had a referral, so if somebody said, hey, there's jobs at our company or whatever, it's a really good answer to say, well, my friend Joe works here and he says it's awesome. Or I know that my friend Maggie works in accounts and she's been dealing with this account with this big customer. And, you know, so you have an answer that's quite personal. That's always a good way to go.
Yeah. I remember the best one I ever heard was, my friend works here. I don't remember their name. And he said, it's hard to work here, but it's worth it.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
That's good. You've been prepared well, my child.
Yeah, exactly.
No, and you can look at a website in 10 minutes, again, like in the Uber or in mm-hmm. a phone, or, you know, while your child's playing a game, mm-hmm. a football game or something. And most candidates have at least two days notice, and maybe a week or more. And if they don't seem to have done this really basic research, the question is, in my mind, do they not care? Do they not know it's necessary? In which case, I worry about their understanding or professionalism. Do they not know how? In which case, I worry about their technical ability. Or do they just not want to? In which case, I worry about their enthusiasm for the role. And in some respects, it doesn't matter which the answer is, because any of them are bad.
Yeah. If you're worried, or you're maybe not worried, if you're concerned that a hiring manager is going to extrapolate, you know, to what Wendy said from a lack of preparation or lack of understanding the organization, I think a lot of hiring managers, I mean, that's their job, is to extrapolate. They only get a snapshot. And if the snapshot you're giving them is that you either don't care or aren't proficient enough to do that research, I would think that if you're interacting with our clients, you're not going to take the time to understand them and what they do and how we can best help and support them. Or you're not going to take the time to get to know the people that are on your team so that you understand what makes them tick and how you can best help them achieve our goals. So this is a big one for sure. Our next one, though, is another one I really like, which is prepare your tell me about yourself answer. If there's ever a question that is guaranteed to come up during an interview, it's tell me about yourself. Now, it may not be the words, oh, please tell me about yourself. Mm-hmm. It's not always worded the same way. Sometimes it's, hey, walk me through your resume, or give me an overview of your career, or, you know, tell me how you got here, or whatever, right? There's something, but it's always there, and it's the underlying question that leads into the interview. It's always that kind of first step, and it's a great opportunity to make an excellent first impression. But it's shocking that a lot of candidates don't have a crisp answer to that question. It astounds me how many times I've asked people that question, and it's the first time they've said the words out loud. Yeah.
And again, I think people think that because it's their own history, they'll be able to do it off the cuff. And you can do anything off the cuff, but it always sounds better when you've been prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like people who go to the grocery store, stand in line at checkout, watches, you know, the person check all the stuff and put it in bags, right? And then they go, oh, I have to pay? And then they start fumbling around for their wallet.
It's like it's a surprise every time.
This is not your first day. You've been here before, right?
Yeah.
And I catch myself doing that sometimes, right? I'll go to the drive-thru and I'm so focused on ordering because I'm ordering for 3 kids and my wife and who knows, maybe the dog too, if we're, you know, going to a certain place that has certain, you know, things for the dogs. And I'm focused so much on that. And I go, oh yeah, you need money. And now I, you know, I've got a certain, but that's on me. you have to know there's a process. It's always the same process. So know that tell me about yourself is part of the process. So easy.
And if you don't know, and we haven't said this yet, although we should have like 18 times, if you don't know how to answer tell me about yourself, there's the interview series, which is everything Manager Tools knows about interviewing, which you can purchase on the website. Go to products and then interview series. The how to prepare your resume, how to prepare for an interview, the questions you should ask, everything that you can possibly think of in the process
of close.
Yes. In the process of interviewing is in the interview series. So if we said it every time there was something relevant, we'd have only said that, I guess, for the entire podcast. So
right. Every paragraph would be. And you can see this in the interview series.
If there were a secret to success, well, I think there's lots of secrets to success, but one of them has to be planning. And we already have our plan for every public conference in 2023. So if you want your plan for sending your team to be better managers, communicators, hiring managers, then go to managertools.com, look for training, and match your dates up with ours. It's all in the planning. Now, next up, prepare your questions.
This is so good.
You must have questions. In an hour-long interview, the hiring manager won't spend more than 10 minutes telling you about the company, the team, and the job. It's a time management thing, right? As a hiring manager, how long do I have? An hour. How much do I want to spend of that actually asking questions which will help me decide whether or not this is the person? And how much do I want to spend conveying information? The minimum I want. I want all of my questions answered, and I don't care whether theirs are answered.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not personal. It is. It's literally time management. So there's no way you have enough information about this company, this job, this hiring manager, this team, these customers, anything, to not have questions at the end of an hour. There's no way. And yes, there are inappropriate questions at an interview. The question that's, you know, foremost in your mind is, how much am I going to get paid? That's not a good question at this stage, but there's no way you've had all of the other questions answered. And yet, probably 80% of people say, you've answered all my questions. And it just worries me because, you know, there's no way I've told you everything. No, none.
No, not at all. And again, it goes back to that, how engaged are you? How much do you care? How willing are you to get the information you need to make a good decision, right? This is important. And this is indicative of how you'll go to work here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want someone on my team who is not going to get the full picture by asking questions. I don't want to have to, you know, coach them on being willing to speak up and ask questions. And so you've got to have some questions. You got to have something here. It doesn't need to be, you know, a litany of a dozen questions. It ought not to be, actually, mm-hmm. but it should be something. And I get that some people in this stage of the process, they think, well, the interview is, you know, not when I have the power, right? It's when the organization still has the power. And that's totally valid. But you don't have to have power to ask questions. You can still ask questions and ought to. So you've got to have questions about, you know, the goals or accomplishments, the customers, the products, revenue streams, team dynamics, projects, why this job is open.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is this a new job that they're adding? Is this somebody has left? Why did they leave? Did they leave for something internally, externally? That's important. What are you looking for? What are the expectations? Why do other people work here, right? Why did they come to work here? What's the career development look like? What does training look like? There's a million things that you can ask in this stage of the interview that are not in any way trying to usurp the authority or the power of the organization at this stage.
And in part, these questions are not actually questions to which you want the answer. They are, because otherwise they wouldn't be questions. But they are a way of starting a conversation,
mm-hmm.
you know. So if I said to Andrew, can you tell me more about the team dynamic? And Andrew says, well, you know, we're all very close. I talk to every one of my team members every single day. Oh, great. That's something I really appreciate in a team, or I've missed that in my last job, or something, right? It's the start of a conversation so that you can start to relate with the interviewer rather than the question, answer, question, answer, question, answer that there's been for the rest, you know, for the prior 50 minutes or so.
Absolutely. And I think one of the other things that's really helpful is it's an opportunity to demonstrate that you've been paying attention in the interview and being able to call back, you know, certain topics that were brought up in the interview that you didn't have, you know, time to discuss, and to say, hey, you mentioned something about this. Can you tell me more about how this role will have a hand in that process or that new change or whatever it is? That shows an interviewer that you're paying attention, that you've internalized, you've thought through that. You're not just taking, you know, the words at face value. So really great opportunities when asking questions. Our next point is be prepared for the meeting. The increase in remote interviews has seemed to cause candidates to kind of stop the physical preparation for interviews. You know, for an in-person interview, a candidate needed to get dressed, go to the location, bring the right materials, and actually be present in the meeting. And video and phone calls just don't seem to require that same care in the minds of candidates. We've seen experienced candidates who run late, you know, they join a call late. It's pretty clear that they haven't considered where they are in terms of noise or background or commotion or interruptions. And concentration is important in an interview. And, you know, distractions are going to take away from that process. And some of them, they haven't even tested their technology. They're talking, but you can't hear them. I can't hear you. Oh, and then they've got to
fuddle
around.
I'm late because
Zoom
needed to update. Okay.
Yeah.
But okay. And yes, that's frustrating. But that tells me you didn't turn Zoom on until 3 minutes before this call.
Yeah, exactly. So it's one of those things that you can tell when candidates haven't done their due diligence and, you know, found a place where, you know, they can attend the meeting with a level of concentration or a level of, you know, presence that gives them the ability to make a good impression. You may not say all the right things, you may not have all the right answers, but don't let stuff that you can control, that is within your control, detract from the experience of the interviewer. Don't make their job harder.
Or easier, because it's really easy to say no to a candidate that way.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
In one way, you're making it easier. And we understand that people have obligations, right? Especially if you've already got a job, if you're in a job, then it's hard to find the right place, the right time, you know, the times that an interviewer can make versus the times that you can make and get out of work and so on. But if you know you're going to be in a place where you can't have your full attention on the interview, then ask for a different time. I interviewed someone a few weeks ago and they were clearly driving. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's okay. You clearly, between whatever time it was, 4 and 4:30, you need to get from A to B. Absolutely fine. But if you knew that ahead of time, I would have been absolutely fine if you said, you know what, I can't do it till 6 because I've got to drive home. And I would have said, okay, I can do 6. The first time I suggest is not the time I need you to agree to. It's a time I'm suggesting and saying, will this work for you? If it won't work, then you have the right of first refusal. You have the right to say, do you know what? I can't make that work and concentrate. I have to be driving kids, or I'm going to be in work and I can't concentrate when I'm there. Could we make it some other time? And if you're not willing to speak up and say that, then I was going to say you can't work here, but I don't think you can work anywhere.
Right. Well, you just run risks. You know, if you're not willing to speak up, you're trading that for some risk. And the risk is going to be that you're less effective because of not being willing to say, I want to be at my best. I can't be at my best while I'm driving the kids to school or whatever.
And scary. How do you drive and interview at the same time?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what's worse, what your performance in the interview or bad performance on the road and crashing the car. Like,
yeah.
You know, Both are scary.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. We do have more guidance on interviewing over Zoom if you're interested.
Of course. We have everything. Okay, so next up, prepare to take notes. So phone and video interviews provide an advantage for candidates because you can take notes. You can have notes, read them, and you can take notes about what's said and what you promise in terms of follow-up. And all you need is a piece of paper and a pen, and we know everybody types faster than they write. But you also like those mechanical keyboards that go clack, 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 clack. When I'm trying to listen to your answer or I'm trying to speak and all I can hear is the clack, 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 I'm not paying attention to what you're saying. You're not paying attention to what I'm saying. All we're doing is listening to the clack, clack.
Wendy, the number of times I have been on a call with someone and I could tell they were taking notes and I thought to myself, what did your keyboard do to you? Why are you yes. so... You're trying to murder that keyboard. I don't know what happened.
My mom learned to type on a mechanical typewriter, and you used to have to bang those. Well, now mm-hmm. she has an Apple keyboard. Poor thing. I think she yeah. goes through one every 3 months. It's not the keyboard's fault. It's hers.
It's not.
But, you know, mechanical keyboards are awesome if that's what you're into. And they're not helping. Oh, yeah. They're not helping anything when we can hear you taking notes.
Yeah, we can hear it. We can hear it. So the last point in our outline is prepare with the general store exercise. None of what we've talked about addresses the most important preparation, and that is preparing to actually answer the interview questions. Again, lots of additional information on this in the interviewing series, specifically how to prepare yourself for interviewing. Frankly, as we've seen recently, candidates aren't even doing the work that we've gone through in our previous points. So it almost seems heart-wrenching to ask that they, or to recommend that they take days to consider their experience, break it down into skills, then create interview answers from those, rehearse those answers, and be fully prepared for the interview. It feels like we're asking a lot if they won't even read their own resume. But this is what it takes. You know, this is what it takes if you want to be effective, you want to excel. We've got the information for you. It's just a matter of now doing it.
When I started doing this job, I had just come out of a job where I'd been interviewing a lot. And it used to break my heart when I saw someone who had the right skills, who was clearly a nice person, who wanted to be on the team, who was a team player, and they were just failing the interview because they didn't know how to interview. Mm-hmm. And we spent the next 15 years writing about interviews and trying to explain to people, this is what you need to know to give the impression, to say the right things, to allow you to have that opportunity, which you are so clearly going to grasp. Having interviewed for the last 3 months, I'm now angry. Like before mm-hmm. I was frustrated. My heart was broken for these people. And I was like, if only we could give you the information, then I know we could make a difference for you. Now I'm like, well, you have the information. You're just not using it. And seriously, yep. if you can't read your own resume and know that there's a mistake in it, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
So, you know, you just need to do literally, if the bar is so low that all you have to do is read your own resume before the interview, like, seriously.
Yeah. It's not asking a lot.
Yeah. And you can look so good against everybody else from that simple thing. Oh, yeah.
And again, if nothing else, it prevents those embarrassing moments that are easy disqualifiers, mm-hmm. right? If we ask about dates on your resume and you don't have an answer, or it seems like you haven't seen those dates or seen your own resume, easy. Yeah. Easy to say no there.
Yeah. It's just frustrating. So if you thought all of this was child's play and you learned all this in kindergarten, which I really hope you did, the interview series is the next step up and we'll tell you everything else that you need to know and the preparation and go into all of the things that people are doing or could be doing that are a step up from this. And if you're not doing these basics, please do these basics. Just for my sake, please.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.